You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
More on the shadow brokers, Equation Group, and what the encryption algorithms are suggesting to people. Crimeware, hacktivism, or cyber cold war. We're thinking door number three. More banking Trojans in Brazil and Colombia. DNSSEC and its exploitation in DDoS. Cerber holds its criminal market share as ransomware as a service. And crooks don't quite trust shark ransomware. Airbus says no to Pokemon, at least on the factory floor. And don't follow Charizard into a minefield. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, August 17th, 2016. The news today continues to be dominated by the shadow brokers, the group that dumped a bunch of code on GitHub, claimed it was a sampler of NSA attack code, and offered the rest for sale to anyone who'd care to pony up 1 million Bitcoin. The released code is represented as a teaser, a loss leader. But there may be more going on here other than simple criminal or even hacktivist money-making. Several observers have noticed, like us, how stagey and clumsy the shadow broker's language is. In a quick test of a hypothesis that the prose came from lazy use of Google Translate, our linguistics staff ran some Russian text through the free tool, which gives us a very rough and ready and often comical rendering into the target language. But our staff couldn't come close to replicating the style. It's difficult, others have also pointed out, to see how one could write like that without craft and intention. Here's a fair sample worth quoting at some length. It's addressed to Wealthy Elite. We want to make sure Wealthy Elite recognizes the danger cyber weapons this message, our auction, poses to their wealth and control. Let us spell out for elites. Your wealth and control depends on electronic data. You see what Equation Group can do. You see what crypto lockers and Stuxnet can do. You see free files we give for free. You see attacks on banks and Swift in news. Maybe there is Equation Group version of crypto locker plus Stuxnet for banks and financial systems. If Equation Group lose control of cyber weapons, who else lose or find cyber weapons? If electronic data go bye-bye, where leave wealthy elites? Maybe with dumb cattle? Do you feel in charge? Wealthy elites, you send bitcoins, you bid an auction, maybe big advantage for you? So there. Stuxnet is speculated to have some connection with the Equation Group, an outfit described last year by Kaspersky Labs and widely believed, although Kaspersky is as usual coy about the attribution, to be an NSA operation. CryptoLocker, of course, is criminal ransomware no one has connected with Equation Group or anyone outside of cyber gangland. The same can be said of Swift bank transfer fraud. The suggestion that NSA is preparing an attack on global wealth is, to be sure, as provocation as it is on the face of it, implausible. So is the notion that alleged U.S. government attack code would easily find its way into criminal hands. Still, the insinuation is more plausible than, say, the stuff that's widely believed about chemtrails or Sasquatch. Kaspersky Labs thinks the samples are genuine pieces of Equation Group code. The biggest tip-off they see, as expressed in their Secure List blog, is an unusual implementation of RC5 and RC6 encryption algorithms. This evidence is, of course, circumstantial, and attribution remains as notoriously difficult as ever. Speculation about the leakers inevitably turns to Russia. Tensions between that country and the U.S. have been rising, and the timing seems appropriate, given the current uproar over hacking the U.S. Democratic and Republican parties have sustained. But as Edward Snowden has tweeted, it's more noteworthy that the intrusion has been made public than that it was made at all. Any intelligence service like NSA is an obvious collection target, but you wouldn't talk about collecting unless you were interested in making a point or communicating a threat. The incident moves experts to raffish and demonic commentary. Thomas Ridd calls the shadow broker's dump a big middle finger hoisted in a generally American direction. Dave Eitel writes, explaining why he thinks it was the Russians, quote, "No team of hackers would want to piss off Equation Group this much. That's the kind of cajones that could only come from having a nation-state protecting you," end quote. So, wealthy elite, take your head out of your Pokemon and see, observers are telling us, the dawn of a new cyber Cold War. Did we mention Pokemon? Why, yes, we did. Airbus has told its employees to knock off playing the game at work, and the U.S. State Department has advised travelers not to play Pokemon Go while visiting countries prone to having marked fields of uncleared landmines, especially Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam, even if you think you see a Hawlucha. An important part of cybersecurity is, of course, physical security, making sure your devices don't get lost or stolen. Kensington does a good bit of business helping with the physical security of devices, and their locking mechanism has become something of an industry standard. They recently took a survey of IT professionals on how they secure their devices in the real world, and we spoke with Kensington's Rob Humphrey about what they learned.
What we found through the survey was the office continues to be one of the highest places that laptop theft occurs, which is a big surprise to most people, particularly IT managers, that people think that the office is a very secure location for office equipment, IT equipment. And it turns out that the only other place that theft occurs more often is actually in cars or other transportation, like on the train or something like that.
Rob Humphrey said one of the surprising results from the survey was how many organizations had no policy when it came to physical security of devices.
More than a third do not have policies in place to physically secure laptops. What we see is a lot of organizations just assume that all of the security needs to be placed on firewalls or virus protection or malware protection and the like, and they forget about the physical aspect. The other stat that came out that was pretty interesting was more than half, 54%, of the survey participants failed to use a physical lock for IT equipment. The survey pointed out 80% of the respondents to the survey do not utilize locks to lock down the other types of equipment that are sitting on desktops, in conference rooms, and other locations. And it's pretty easy to do. And when deploying the locks, the key management is always a concern, and our study confirmed that over two-thirds of the respondents said, yes, key management is very important to us when we're considering launching or rolling out locks corporate-wide. So when we mean key management, is it gives the facilities managers or the IT manager a key that can open up any lock in their system. So if a user forgets their key at home or leaves the organization, takes the key with them, or just loses the key, the IT manager can unlock that device for them.
And when something like a laptop gets stolen, there's more than just the cost of the device to consider.
you've got to get back to a productive state. So what kind of hassle is that when that happens? You know, our other studies have shown that that takes, you know, people days up to a week or more to get fully back up to speed when they lose something as critical as their personal computer.
Employees may resist having their devices locked down at work, but Humphrey says many companies have successfully implemented physical security policies.
Having a policy in place and putting some enforcement behind it, such as we know organizations, what they do is they have facilities folks go around the office in the morning, and any computer that's not locked down, they pick up and take to their office. And it creates a very inconvenient scenario for the employee to pick up the computer. So it's all about, you know, having the policy in place and enforcing that policy to drive home the importance of locking down their equipment.
That's Rob Humphrey from Kensington. You can learn more about their security survey on their website. Turning to news of other threats, BlackBerry is the first major manufacturer to release a patch for the QuadRooter vulnerability. Brazil is experiencing a fresh wave of banking malware infestations as Zeus Sphinx joins Zeus Panda. Some Colombian banks have also been affected by Sphinx. Neustar has released a study on how domain name system security extensions, DNSSEC, can be exploited in DDoS attacks. The security company says, quote, DNSSEC reflection can transform an 80-byte query into a 2,313-byte response, an amplification factor of nearly 30, end quote. This is troubling because of the role DNSSEC play in defensive measures. Cerber remains the dominant ransomware as a service, but a competitor is up, Shark, whose masters say they work on commission. Their attack screen says, data on this device were locked, thus getting on our editor's good side because the crooks recognize that the word data is plural. He says things like, you should honor the Latin plural, blah, 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 and yes, alas, he really does talk like that. But Symantec, Bleeping Computer, and others who've looked into Shark note that its purveyors have been booted out of the best criminal fora, fora, that Latin plural again, and that they're probably just scamming other crooks. Don't let the Latin plural fool you, kids. There's no honor among thieves.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI.
Joining me is Joe Kerrigan from the Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute. Joe, earlier in the show, we heard from Rob Humphrey from Kensington about the physical security and securing our devices. We hear stories regularly about laptops being stolen from cars and so forth. In your opinion, what are some of the things we can do to pay better attention to physical security?
Obviously, don't leave them in your car. There was the one case that comes to my mind was a case of somebody who worked for a VA hospital who left a laptop in their car.
Right.
I can't remember all the details of it. It was probably about 7 years ago that this happened, but that constituted a breach of personal healthcare information. You know, basic common sense things. If don't leave your laptops in your car, do the physical things. Protect your computer like it is a valuable item. But let's say that you've done something or that you manage many computers and you just don't have the faith in humanity that's required to believe that everybody's going to take care of their devices.
Sure.
So there are things you can do to protect the data that's on that. Generally, the buzzword or jargon term is called data at rest.
Yep.
So this is any kind of data that's on physical media like a hard drive, tape backup. And you can encrypt that device so that even if somebody does steal the hardware, the device is encrypted and they can't get the data off of it.
Right. So that's an option. I remember it last computer I bought. It's when I set up the computer, it asked me, do you want to encrypt the hard drive on this computer? I said yes. Didn't seem to be much of a downside to that.
Yeah, there's really not much of a downside. It's very transparent to the end user. There is one issue, and that is, you know, at the enterprise level, if you have if you forget a password, then you have to go and have somebody reset it.
So even that way, if someone actually got physical access to let's say a laptop, and they removed the hard drive from the innards of the laptop and tried to hose it up to some other machine, that data is protected because it's encrypted.
Right, it's encrypted, and it's encrypted with a key instead, and not necessarily a password-derived key.
All right, good stuff. Joe Kerrigan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? A culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business.